Man Show, Thursday, 7 p.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM with your host, DJ Medi. Hey, that's me. We'll be interviewing fans, musicians from all genres and all languages, and other talents too, like photographers and videographers. We'll check out local businesses, cheap eats, and yummy treats. And also events that are happening or not happening around town. And places to go and get some fresh air. Go for a walk. And places that are still open and you can go for a shop. Although we focus on East Van, we'll be making friends everywhere and anywhere. Hi! We'll chat with skateboarders, athletes, dancers, artists, chefs, bakers, tailors, comedians. Hey, you name it, we want it. See a familiar face or a familiar place right here on the Wham Bam East Van Show. And welcome to the Wham Bam East Van Show. I'm your host, DJ Medi, and we're broadcasting from Simon Fraser University on unceded Coast Salish territory in beautiful Burnaby, BC, which includes the Squamish, the Musqueam, the Coquitlam, the Catsey, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. All right, today we have two amazing people in the studio. One has been here before, and the other one's the first time, right?
It is the first time.
All right, please introduce yourself, Starling Effect. Welcome to say hello to Vancouver, say hello to the world, say hello to the universe, because you never know if aliens are listening right now.
Hello, Vancouver. Hello, world. Hello, universe. My name is John, and I play guitar and sing in the Starling Effect.
My name is Michael. I play drums in Starling Effect. And hello to everybody in the Lower Mainland and anybody on Saturn that may be tuning in.
That's right. Nanu, nanu. Yes, and one of the questions in my post was, yes, do you Team Star Wars or Team Star Trek? Which do you prefer?
Oh, these guys know because I'm the oldest member of the band. I'm definitely Team Star Trek. I never really got into Star Wars. I suspect that, you know, the phones are going to start lighting up because I know that's tantamount to saying that I'm a Satanist. But yes, I'm very much a Star Trek guy. And as far as the comet that everybody's been talking about,
yes.
As much, and this is a theory, as much as I would love the aliens to come to Earth so that Earthlings would realize how puny all of our supposedly big problems are, I love the concept of a United Federation of Planets, because if that was the case, then instead of countries fighting with each other,
yes,
then we'd realize we're bigger, we're part of a much bigger construct, if you will, right? A galactic construct. Anyway, that's not going to happen. It's just a freaking comet. I don't think it's an alien spaceship. I would love it to be an alien spaceship. I think it's just a comet.
All right, John. Team Star Trek or Team Star Wars?
Well, I grew up with Star Wars, so I have to say that's a sentimental favorite for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I have watched the original series of Star Trek all the way through a couple times. Never really got into too much past that, but I do have an appreciation for both franchises. I will say that in terms of the number of disappointing segments, Star Wars is definitely far, far in the lead. So
Greg's going to be so upset. Greg from Starling Effect is a huge Star Wars guy.
Oh, really?
I think he's watched every single episode, every movie, every...
Yeah. When he's a fan of something, he is in deep. And that goes for Star Wars, and it also goes even more for The Cure.
For The Cure, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Oh, he travels around the world to see The Cure.
Oh, fantastic. All right. And you brought your instrument today, John. Tell me about it.
This is a Martin acoustic guitar. Sorry, no, it's a Guild. I don't actually have a Martin. No, this is a Guild. Did you actually want me to talk about the guitar?
Yeah, sure, why not? Because we're going to get right into the music right after you talk about it. So,
well, I'm not going to necessarily talk about this guitar particularly, but what I will say is that this guitar is the genesis of a lot of the ideas that I come up with for the Starling Effect, but they never become songs until I bring them to the band, and sometimes they start within the band, and sometimes somebody else starts an idea. I am not what you would call a singer-songwriter. I'm a guy in a band, so it's really weird to me that on this particular show I'm actually going to be playing guitar and singing by myself without a band behind me, because I've never actually done that before.
So what
it means is that some of the arrangements are going to be probably radically different from what you would hear in the recorded versions. I'm actually having to strip things down a lot and actually take a few parts out and stuff like that. So it should be interesting, but I think it'll be fun.
Yes, yes. Okay, so yes, there are people that just want to hear your music right away, but should we play one of your songs, or did you want to actually perform first? What would you like to do?
Oh, boy. Let's play one of our recorded songs.
Yes. That gives you a little break, yeah.
I kind of knew you were going to say that.
Yes. Should we start with Pile of Ash?
Yeah, let's sure. do that.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me a little bit about this, and then we'll play it.
Pile of Ash was born, actually, from a line that our bassist, Alex, or full disclosure, now our former bassist, Alex, he stepped away from the band because his family situation is his sons are taking up a lot of his time, and he can't dedicate as much time as he feels necessary to Starling Effect, and we love him for that. But we love him for that, and we love him for the fact that he came up with this great bass line. Mm. And he started playing it at rehearsal one day, and I picked up on it and then created a foundation underneath it. And we came up with what became Pile of Ash. Greg and then John added their bits. And I loved it from the get-go. Hopefully the audience will think likewise.
and we are back. All right, guys. We are so lucky to hear these acoustic versions of this song. So what are we playing first, John?
I'm going to play a song called A Strange Habit of Disappearing, mm-hmm. which we released the recorded version of it last year, like last April, I think. So it's kind of a favorite. I play a whole ripping electric guitar solo on it usually, but I'm not going to do that today. Let's see how well in tune I am.
Available on a Bandcamp site near you.
Probably I'm in tune enough. All right, here goes nothing. I'm going to take these headphones off.
You bet.
So let's try this out. I kind of improvised the whole end part because that's actually not the lead vocal. I decided to sing the harmony vocal instead, or the backing vocal.
Yes.
As a lead part, and
I thought it sounded great.
Yeah.
It sounded pretty cool. I had to do that because you know, there's things you got to figure out when you're playing a band that has so many layers in the recordings and live as well.
To, that's right.
Translated into a one-man acoustical jam.
All right, Michael. And talking about jams, you jam with a bunch of bands. How many bands are you involved with currently?
Five.
Five. Wow.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. and keeps me very, very busy.
Yes.
And it's a good thing I'm between working contracts right now. But yeah, and all wonderful bands filled with wonderful people, really, really talented players. I've been blessed to fill in and, you know, play with some really, really great bands. And, you know, full disclosure with these fellas, I mean, I've been playing with in bands with John since 2004 when they asked me to join Window 78.
Yeah.
Oh.
And, yeah, and Greg was involved in that project as well. So we go back a long ways. So, but yeah, I'm pretty busy.
Oh, right. And are you guys involved with IT at all? Is that the Windows? No? Is that
no, Windows 78. not that Mark would be listening, but our former lead singer and bass player, Mark Rogers, that was, I think that was kind of his dig to Microsoft.
Yeah.
He was a confirmed Mac guy
yeah.
in the, like, 30, 40 years ago. And so Windows 78 was kind of a Microsoft dig,
right.
I think.
All right. Yeah, go ahead. Do you have something else
add
to that? Yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting, the talk of cosmic matters earlier, because Windows 78, we put it on an album, the first album, and the centerpiece of it was actually three songs about Mars rovers.
Oh, yeah.
All of the ones, I think, who had actually been launched up to that point when that album came out was 2005, 2006?
2006.
Yeah.
Spirit, Opportunity, and Pathfinder were the rovers. Mm.
So there's one up there now called Perseverance, which actually has discovered, I think, what will possibly prove to be the best evidence for life on Mars that has ever been discovered. So I think that's pretty exciting. I also wanted to note, because I find it really fascinating that all of the unmanned vehicles, whether they're rovers or just sort of, you know, space exploration machines, essentially, that NASA uses, they're actually all built by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or JPL.
Really?
Yeah. And
to whom we sent a copy of our CD, as I recall.
I think we did.
Wow.
But the thing about the Jet Propulsion Lab that I find super fascinating is that one of the founders, kind of the main guy, was a guy named Jack Parsons. And I don't know if you've heard about him. Do you know anything about Jack Parsons?
No.
So I'm going off on a bit of a tangent, but this is all connected to you know, the rovers and all the space stuff that is happening now. Because it was founded by this guy, Jack Parsons. He was, in addition to being quite a gifted scientist, and he really pioneered like liquid fuel rocketry and solid fuel rocketry. He was literally just one of the first people to actually start launching these things out in the desert and stuff. But he had a whole different side to his life. In fact, he was a bit of an occultist. Actually, he was more than a bit of an occultist. He was a serious, serious occultist. And he was actually one of the disciples of Aleister Crowley in America. And because of that, he actually started the California branch of the Temple of Thelema, which, you know, you can say a lot of things about it, but what people said about it at the time was that it was a black magic sex cult. but wait, there's more. One of the more fascinating aspects of Jack Parsons' life is that in addition to being in you know, a sex cult, he was also a bit of a polygamist. And he was involved with a woman who he married and also her teenage sister simultaneously, which is really, really unfortunate. But the most, I think, fascinating aspect of that is that his wife left him. Good for her. But then the sister also left him. But she left him in full-on burn-the-bridges fashion, which is that she took most of his money and she ran off with L. Ron Hubbard.
And they went to the planet, whatever the... Anyway. Yeah.
The problem is that L. Ron Hubbard was actually still married to his first wife at the time. So there's good. I'm going to write a book about this.
Someday. Oh, we look forward to that book. All right.
And it'll actually come with old copies of our CD that I still have a few boxes of lying around, which somehow...
Oh, I wouldn't mind taking one of those CDs, and we'll bring that here to the radio station.
Sure, absolutely.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about Hotel Empress.
In fact, Jay may even be tuning in. So there's a band in town people may know, Hotel Empress, really, really great band led by a lead singer. Her name is Kat. Bass player's name is Corey, and Jay Campbell, who I also play with in Paranoid Romantic, he plays keyboards. Hotel Empress split up, which was unfortunate. A lot of us were sad because that was such a great band. But the core of that band reformed, and Paranoid Romantic and the former Hotel Empress share a rehearsal spot. Of course, I'm playing drums in there, and they're like, hey, we don't have a drummer. Would you like to join our band? So they kindly asked me, and I said yes. So we don't really have a name yet. We sort of have a couple of ones that we're throwing around. But... they're a great band and a great group of folks.
Yes, and we're going to play Left Behind on CJSF.
Can't
Nice. That was Left Behind by Hotel Empress. All right, and we are back, and John's going to do another acoustic. Tell me about it.
This is a song called Blue Skies Gray, and it was the B-side to the song that I played earlier. And it's another song that has just an epic amount of layering that we did in the studio, including all kinds of keyboards and stuff. And I'm going to try to replicate all that, minus the key change at the end, because that's too much for me to wrap my tiny mind around.
John Lucas, everyone, playing live here at CJSF on the Wham Bam East Van Show. First time in the studio. And we did do an interview at your rehearsal space. And you can see that interview on YouTube.
Yeah.
that was fun. Yes.
Yeah,
I love the way you ended that. There's a whole section that started.